That song just fits so perfect for today. Well, again, welcome Mission HSM. I'm Johnny, the director here at high school. It's been a couple months since I've been with you guys. I'm stoked to be back. Last time I spoke, I had this awesome water balloon story. I nailed this girl in the face through her sunroof in their Mustang from like 500 feet away. I don't have another one of those stories today for you guys. My wife just doesn't want to do that on the weekends anymore, so it's kind of a bummer. But I don't have anything like that for you, but I do have, I'm just going to get right to it. I do have a question. It's a really, really easy, simple question for you guys. And Ryan asked this last week. He asked us this simple question last week, and it's been sticking with me all week. And it was just this, do you feel free? Is that simple? Do you feel free? And it comes from Galatians 5:1. As he talked, he said, Jesus Christ has set you free. He's set you free from your guilt. If you're a Christian in here, you believe in that. You don't have to be guilty for anything that you do. He set you free from the penalty of sin, and the cross is enough. You're free from condemnation, and he sets you free just from the power of sin. You have the Holy Spirit in your life to be able to find victory, but do you actually feel free is what he asked. And today we're going to talk about some pretty heavy stuff, and it's this idea of, do we feel free from all of the anxieties in our lives? Or can we find peace anywhere? Is there any joy in your life this morning? And I'm going to try and cast a wide net. I'm going to try and find every one of you in your heart. There's got to be something that I hope resonates, because this is going to affect every single one of us this morning. Whether or not you just get stressed and sad really easily, or maybe you're here this morning and it's a miracle because you like barely got out of bed. You haven't been able to get out of your room for a week, and you're that far down in this pit of depression and anxiety. And so I hope you guys, you're with me this morning, because it's going to affect every single one of us in some way. We've either been there, we're in there right now, or we've got a friend who's there, and we can be a hope to them. We started this series. It's called Unshakable Hope. That was cool timing. That was like perfect. We started Unshakable Hope last week. I don't want you to walk out of here with this like 10-step program of a stress-free or sad-free life, because I'm not going to give it to you. I don't even have 10 points, and I haven't even figured that out yet. But I do hope you walk out of here with this. I hope you find hope today. I've got some stats. I love stats. I love statistics and facts, because it helps me just, it helps stuff resonate with me. I don't know if you're there with me, but I read a few stats on this website. It just blew my mind. 40 million people every year in the U.S., just the U.S., that's 20% of the entire population, on a day-to-day basis are struggling with anxiety or depression. Just in 24 hours, 1,400 teens attempt suicide, 15,000 will use drugs for the very first time, 3,500 will run away, 3,000 sets of parents get divorced. And finally, this one. This just really shows the seriousness of the issue right now. It says that the average high school student, you guys, me, when I was in high school, the average high school student right now on this day experiences the same levels of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient in the 1950s. I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? Like, what's going on in our heads right now, in this moment, is the same types of stresses and fears and concerns and whatever's going on that people over just 60 years ago were getting thrown into psychiatric help in hospitals. And I'm thinking, man, this is nuts. And right, this isn't just like stress. This is more than that. Like, we've all been stressed before. Like, I know what it's like. Like, tomorrow, probably a couple of you have like a quiz, like on the couple chapters of reading this weekend, like, and I'm seeing some of the faces. You're like, oh my gosh, you're right. And so, like, I've been there before. Like, you're laying in bed at night and you just like pop up out of the pillow and you realize chapter 15 and 16, oh, and 17, perfect. And so you get up and you try to scramble a bunch of studying together and it doesn't work. And then sooner or later you're like walking to class, like can't talk. And you're just like, and I've been there, trust me, like taking pictures, like not taking pictures, but like taking mental pictures of like stuff that you just won't even ever remember. And you're trying to just cram it all in. Like, I've been there. I've been stressed. It's more than that. We're going to talk about a little bit more than just being stressed today. And it's more than just being sad. Like, it's more than just getting that test back and seeing a big fatty F on your test. And that just bum you out for the rest of the day. And it's more than just the troubles of life coming on to you. Because, like, trouble, that's part of human nature. That's one thing I want to just real quick just get out there. Like, trouble and stuff that happens to us is normal. Like, if you look at Jesus' life, he experienced some troubling stuff. And so if I can see Jesus experiencing something, then I feel okay, at least the Son of God knows what I'm going through right now, right? Trouble is where Jesus was visiting a funeral of his friend, and he sees the family, and he sees his friend that has just died, and he weeps. Trouble later in his life is when he's in the garden and he is stressed because he's about to go to the cross and he's legitimately sweating blood. Like, that's, I've never been there. I don't know, like, anyone who's ever been there, but that's possible. He's been that troubled in his entire life. So it's normal. It's a human nature to be troubled. But, like, this is what I heard a pastor say, and I love this because it just paints a perfect picture. Like, trouble, it will tap you on the shoulder. It'll say, come here, Johnny, come here. You've got two choices to make, okay, says trouble. This road trusts God's goodness and his faithfulness and the fact that he's in control. He's got a plan. His timing with you is perfect. He's got you. So don't let sadness and concerns and fears take control, because that's what this road leads to. This road, if we go down this path, like, if you're like me, I go down way too much. You start thinking about everything. You start having just fears and concerns. And sooner or later, you are further and further down this road. And you can't see what's in front of you or what's behind you. You're just in this massive cloud. And you just feel like, okay, what do I do? Nothing is peaceful anymore. I'm just trapped. So that's what I hope that today we kind of pinpoint, even if you're just, like I said, you just get super stressed really easily, and it's that simple, and you don't know why, you can't stand it, but like everything just freaks you out. Or if you're way on the other side of the spectrum, and like I said, it was a miracle that you got here today because you have not left your room in a week, and you're afraid to go to school. I'm thinking, where can I go? Where can I go in the Bible? How can I find someone who's gone through stuff? Because I remember when I was in high school, I thought like everyone here was just this crazy Bible perfect holy hero. And didn't have anything wrong with them, but like that's like not the case. Like if you know this, like there's a prophet named Elijah who's flat out suicidal. Jeremiah, another prophet, hated his life and actually cursed his mother's belly. He says, cursed be the day that I came out of that. Job, another guy in the Old Testament, in one day he lost all of his property, all of his livestock, like all of his cattle, all of his sheep. And then it makes matters worse. His servants come to him and be like, hey, it gets worse. You literally just lost your entire family in one day. And then I think of the King David. That's where we're going to go today. The same guy who defeated Goliath. King David, one commentator said, he thinks that more than anyone else in the entire Bible had more moments of distress in his entire life than anyone. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go there. Let's figure out what he has gone through. Let's figure out what he's learned. So we're going to go there this morning. Can you guys grab your Bibles? If you got the real thing, love it. If you got the phones, that's still okay. But what I love about this is I can't check Instagram on my Bible. It's a beautiful thing. So we're going to go to Psalm 18, all right? And if you might know this trick, go right here. Just pop it open right to the middle. Look, dang it, didn't work. Hold on. There it is. Okay, pop it open right to the middle. We're going to go to Psalm 18. It's right in the middle of your Bible. If you're at Proverbs, you've gone too far, just go back a book. If you're in Job, you're almost there. All you guys with your phones, like, I got the search bar, sucker. So go ahead and search it. That'll be real fast. But let's go to Psalm 18. I'm going to give you a little background real quick. This is a song. King David wrote this. He wrote a lot of the Psalms, and it actually is a song from a different book. And the reason why I picked this is because David is near the end of his life. He's finally experienced peace. He's finally experienced tranquility in his life. And he writes a song, and he looks back on his entire life, and he sees all the times of distress, all the times of his intense anxieties and his deep pits of depression. He remembers the time he committed adultery and then tried to cover it up and it didn't work. And so he killed that girl's husband. He remembers that time and the type of depression and pit that he was in. And he looks back on his life and he writes down, man, I remember those times, but this is how I got out. This is the hope that I found. This is the unshakable hope that is in God that I found. And he writes this really honest, vivid, just real psalm. And I love it. And I want us to go there right now. So if you've got Psalm 18 ready, some of your Bibles might have like a little paragraph right next to it that explains. And it says, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Okay, so he writes this psalm, verse 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. He's been saved from my enemies. This psalm is really similar to another psalm. David was a warrior. He was actually, like, he wasn't just the king that just sat on his throne and told other people what to do. He actually went out into battle. And this sounds really similar to another psalm, Psalm 22. And it says, I'm literally surrounded like a herd of bulls from enemies. It happened a lot to David. He was legit in battle, and the enemy was surrounding him on all sides. And he writes a lot of these psalms in times of that kind of distress, that kind of danger, like life and death situations for David. I don't know about you. I've never been in a life or death situation before, so I don't really know how this feels. There's this one time I was legit surrounded by enemies. Like, they didn't have guns back then. They had knives and spears and arrows and stuff. I was at a time when I found myself cornered and surrounded by dudes with guns before, and I didn't know what I was going to do. There was a time when I literally had, I counted 10 guys, all with guns, aimed right at me, and it was the first time I went paintballing. I love that. You guys are just like, oh my gosh. So it was the first time I went paintballing. I was in eighth grade. Okay. And if anyone's been paintballing before, you know it's not just like these little tiny like guns or these big guns that just shoot like beach balls of paint. Like, these things go fast. And I didn't know this. For some reason, I didn't correlate that. So I show up in shirts and a t-shirt, right? Good news, I'm glad I actually wore shoes. But I show up in shirts and in a t-shirt, and my friends are literally, I swear we're going snowboarding, because they're wearing like ski gear. They've got these weird gas masks going on. This one kid I thought was a legit machine gun. Turns out, no, it is filled with paint, but it does go 800 feet per second, however fast it goes. And so I show up, no, I'm like, I'm in trouble. And they gave me my rental gun. It's just like cheap plastic looking thing. And I'm like, great. Like, how fast does this thing really go? So I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. And I found myself in the middle of the game. Ironically, of course, Johnny's the only one left. Everyone's out. Everyone's been shot 10 times. Because I was literally just hiding, I found a box. I found a box, and I'm just like crouched down, just hiding the whole time. Everyone knows I'm in there because my box was white, and it's now a rainbow of paint because they all know exactly where I am, and I found myself just trapped. And finally, I just decided to surrender. I said, that's it. And I didn't know the code. I didn't know like the wording, so I just like, all right, just stand up, guys, I'm quit. just getting pummeled. And I get just destroyed. This isn't a friendly paintball match for David, okay? This isn't just like some fun and game thing. Yeah, no, this is like real life and death. So David is that deep in his anxiety and his distress, and he writes Right here, the words of what that feels like. Verse 4, if you're there, follow along. The cords of death encompassed me, entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. I love what he says. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death had confronted me. And in my distress, I called to the Lord and I cried, God, help. So David right now is he's serious when he says, I'm overwhelmed. I legit feel death coming at me. I don't know what to do. And he says, in my distress, I call to the Lord. And that word, distress, doesn't just mean I'm freaking out. It's more than that. It means, if you were to look up what it actually means in the Hebrew, it's like to literally be trapped into a corner, to be in a tight spot. And I'm wondering if you guys can relate to what that feels like right now. If you're like me and you get stressed, my first instinct isn't to go ask all my buddies, hey man, what can I do? It's to go into my turtle shell and to hide. I don't even want to, it just happens. I kind of feel trapped into this corner and I feel just engulfed in this massive cloud. And David says, in my distress, in that moment, I cry to the Lord. Another psalm in Psalm 143, 4 through 3, I'm going backwards. 4 through 5, he says, my spirit was faint and my heart was horrified. There's another time where he says, I just got nothing left. I'm drained. He says in this one, I'm overwhelmed. God, what do I do? And what he does here is he cries out to God. He says, help. Help. And you might have missed it, but the fact that he cried out for God and he says help, he realizes, I need help. And that's huge. Because when we're stuck in these pits of anxiety and depression, like we don't get to the point where we realize we need help fast enough. Sooner or later, we've chosen the road, like trouble has tapped us on the shoulder, and instead of trusting God, like, you know, God's got a plan. Okay, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why, but it just, instead of waiting to find that out, we go down this road, and we start slowly but surely sinking lower and lower and lower into this pit, and we don't know how we got there in the first place, and I think it's because we didn't realize down what road we were actually going down. David cries out to God in this moment, right? Trouble tapped David on the shoulder and he chose that road and he cries out to God for help. And look at this. This is awesome. The second half of verse 6. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. And watch the emotion of God right here. Don't miss this. Don't let this metaphor just skip right past you. Notice how God acts right here. Verse 7, the earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils, consuming fire came from his mouth, burning coals blazed out of it. Right now I'm thinking of a volcano. That's kind of what I'm reading here. So God he's got a volcano of fury and of anger right now as to what's happening to David. And I love it because it shows just how tenacious God is. That's a huge word. I don't know why I use it. It's just showing man, God is ruthless for this kind of stuff. Like times of distress right here, God it angers him and he goes after David. He goes after him. He says right here, he mounted the cherubim, verse 10. That's just a freaky angel looking thing with wings. And he flew and he soared on the wings of the wind. I'm going to skip down to verse 16. So as he's flying, he says, he reached down from on high and he took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support, and he brought me out into a spacious place. No longer does David feel trapped here. He doesn't feel like he's stuck in this box. He has freedom to finally find peace and rest. And he says, I'm in a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. I'm going to say that one more time. He rescued me because he delighted in me. God was so not only just willing to come down, but desperately wanting to come down and save David because he delighted in David. I don't realize this enough. I don't understand. I don't realize God's not up in heaven. He's not just too busy and he'll get to me in a second. No, God is there. My cries reach his ears. He doesn't just listen. He hears me and he acts. It might remind you of a verse, First Peter 5. I forget what verse it says. Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. It's the same idea. Cast your anxieties upon him. Give him everything you've got. David could have just gone into his shell, but he didn't. He gave it everything he's got to the Lord in that moment. He cried out for help. Let me get one thing straight, though. Just because God is listening, just because he hears you, he's not going to respond necessarily in that moment right away. A lot of you in this room might be super mad at God right now because you're in a spot and he hasn't been responding. God doesn't have a 10-second countdown as to when he hears his voice and he's going to just give you an answer. And a lot of the times I'm like, well, that's not fair. Lord, I'm obviously in a tough spot. It shows you right here in this psalm that it doesn't make you very happy when I'm in distress and my enemies and whatever pit I'm in doesn't make you very happy. So why aren't you saying anything? And this is why. I've learned over the years, and in my long 23 years of life, this is my one word of, not one word, I've got a couple words of wisdom, but this is one thing: that God isn't going to give you an answer right away because for some reason he's waiting. He's waiting. He wants you to wait. That's why he's waiting, because for some reason he wants you to wait on him. He's got a plan. Don't forget this, guys, that God's timing is perfect. God's timing with you is perfect. Whatever is stressing you out right now, whatever is bringing you down, if it's been weeks, if it's been months, if it's been a year, don't think that God has given up. For some reason, he's waiting on you because he needs you to trust him. He needs you to trust him right now. If you remember last week, Jesus knew that his friend Lazarus had died, but he waited a few more days. Like, knowingly, Jesus waited a few more days because he knew what kind of faith that needed to produce in that family. So what do we do now? I've given you, I've just thrown up a ton of information to you right now, and now you're like, okay, now what? And there's just a few takeaways, guys, I need you to understand is that John 10:10, Jesus says, I came to give you life, and I came to give it to you to the full. So you have to understand, whatever you're going through right now, this isn't how life is supposed to be. This isn't supposed to be normal for you. God wants you to have a life of joy and of peace. He doesn't want you to be in control. He doesn't want you to feel at peace and at joy because everything's going my way. I'm in control. This is awesome. No, he needs him to be in control. And he wants you to give you a life of joy and of peace. And part of that is you need to understand, man, whatever I'm going through right now, if it's bad, I got to know it's bad. I've got to understand that I'm in a pit. Tons of fears and concern. Maybe you're thinking about something all of the time. Understand, I've got to give that to him. I've got to give that to God. David cried out to God because he knew that God was the only one that heals. Guys, if there's some of you in this room right now who actually are so far down this pit of anxiety and depression, that you have medication that you need. That's amazing. There's technology that God has given doctors that can chemically help you. But that's not going to heal you. It's just a band-aid. It's not going to cure. Just know that the unshakable hope, that is what brings healing. Okay? It's the Lord who brings that ultimate healing and that sense of peace and control. And the one thing that isn't in here that I think is so important that we realize is we can't do it by ourselves. And I'm not talking about just between you and the Lord. I'll get to that in a second. Like, you need each other. That's not in this psalm. It's not in Psalm 18. I'm sure he had like his buddies, like his army guys with him. He wasn't one man fighting 40,000. But we need to understand, guys, if you're in here and you're involved in house groups, if you're involved in house groups, use that as an opportunity to share with one another. Like, man, this is the pit I'm in right now. This is the anxieties I'm in. Please help. Don't do it by yourself. Don't just get into your shell and think that it's going to be fine. And maybe it's more than just I'm freaked out all the time. Maybe it's something deeper. We have an opportunity on Friday nights here called The Landing. There are some of you who have been in this room, who I've even personally talked to. You said, man, the hope and the healing that I found in this is unreal. Because what it is just a bunch of people come together as a community and they take further steps into this and they tackle these types of things on a personal deep level, and they found victory in that. And maybe that's the step you need to take. Never have I felt the importance of this community and this hope than this one time in my life. I've never been this anxious, scared, in distress is this time in my life. I was in the emergency room, the waiting room, actually. My dad was in there, and it was nothing that we anticipated. We didn't know it was going to happen. But long story short, he had some bleeding in his abdomen. They got him in one time, and apparently it was fixed, so they sent him home. But he started seizing in my living room. I'm like, that's not good. So he goes to the hospital, and there's to make a long story short, and this is going to sound really, really gross, but you have to understand how serious this is. He's with my mom in the waiting in the emergency room, and he threw up over half of his entire blood. There was so much bleeding down here that he actually threw it up. And so it was a life or death situation for my dad at this point. They had to do an emergency surgery. I thought he was fine. I thought he was okay. So I'm sitting in the emergency room. I'm in this corner. We've got our pastors and our elders there, and some of my best friends are there. And I'll never forget this. I'm sitting there, and I'm going back and forth between hope and God, get him through. It's going to be fine. And then I'd shift gears, and I'd be like, what the heck? God, what's going on? Where are you? Where are you right now? And one time, David cries out just like that. He says in Psalm 44, God, wake up. Are you asleep? He legitimately says, God, are you sleeping right now? Because I don't hear anything. And that's where I was. Because I wasn't having any sense of peace. I wasn't having any sense of hope in that moment. And I get a hand on my shoulder, and it's one of my great, great friends. And he says, Johnny, I have no idea what's going on right now. I can't feel for you because I've never been there. But there's one thing that you have to know. You have to know this. God is still controlling the situation. In some weird way, your dad's going through this. He's in control. And don't forget that he's perfectly good. And more than that, he's perfectly faithful. And so whatever happens, that won't change. If he makes it or if he doesn't make it, that won't change. God is still good and still faithful. And you can trust that. You can count on that. And that hope in that moment and that peace was exactly what I needed to hear. And my prayer this whole week was that is the kind of prayer, that is the kind of hope that you guys need to hear this morning. Because to tell you the truth, there are so many of you in this room. There's probably over 300. And I know probably 25 on a more than just surface level. I don't know what's going on in your guys' life. I was talking to a girl yesterday, and she told me, you know what, I couldn't get out of bed for a week. I don't know what's going on with you guys. But you have to know this. You have to know that there is this unshakable hope. There's ultimately this healing. And if I wouldn't have had God in that moment to trust in, I would have been totally taken over, and I would have gone way down that road, and I'd have been gone. So I gotta ask you guys, is that your God right now? Is the God that is good and is faithful and is still in control no matter what, is that your God right now? Is this the kind of hope that you have? Because if it's not, man, I really want you to know that he is that hope. He is that unshakable hope, and he's here. And he's here to bring you out of whatever pit you're in. There's a scene in Batman Begins. Boom! Transition. There's a scene in Batman Begins. If you know anything about me, I am obsessed with Batman. Me and Fox in the back. He wore his Batman shirt today. He's one-upped me, man. And so, I didn't bring my cape. But no, I'm just kidding. Don't worry. But I'll be in the gym, and I'll be like legitimately listening to the soundtrack, and like everyone else that's like around me, I think's in the mob. I'm like, oh, what are you looking at? So like, I love Batman. Okay. And the very first scene of the very first movie, if you don't know it, I'll explain it to you. Bruce Wayne falls into a well. It's like 100 feet down. How he doesn't like die, I don't understand. Somehow he just like separates his shoulder, and he falls into this well, and he gets attacked by all of these bats, and that's where his fear of bats comes from. And he's down in this pit in this well, totally impossible for him to get out. And then his dad starts lowering himself down on this pulley. Okay, like super awesome, super handsome Thomas Wayne, that's his name. Me and Fox are probably the only ones that know that. And he reaches out his hand and he says, Bruce, look at me, man. It's going to be okay, I promise. Sounds super cheesy. And it's just that, it's that typical like, oh, like close up on the hands and they grab on. But it's true. Bruce couldn't get out of there. Thomas Wayne, billionaire, eccentric billionaire Thomas Wayne, lowers himself down on this pulley. All he had to do was probably call a rescue team or throw a rope down. But no, he actually lowered himself down to grab his son. And it reminds me of this verse in Isaiah 59. It says, surely the arm of the Lord isn't too short to save you. The arm of the Lord is not too short to save you, and his ear isn't too dull to hear you. And it's a beautiful picture of what God has done. God's arm wasn't too short to save David. God's arm isn't too short to save you, whatever pit you're in. If it's this big or if it's this big, if you just get sad every once in a while and then all of a sudden you're stressed and you lead down this road and you're like, ah, I've lost control. Or if we're in this other pit of just deep, deep depression, and you like don't want to go to school next week. Whatever pit you're in, God is there to save you. The arm of God is not too short. I'm going to invite the band up right now. We're going to sing one more song. It says, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. God, you are faithful. Don't just sing those words right now. Actually, let those sink in. Guys, be with me real quick right now. There are Christians in here that I need to remind of this. There are some of you in here who aren't Christians who maybe this is the first time you've ever even heard of this and actually now feel like there is hope. I want to invite you guys right now to receive that truth and to put faith into that and to understand that God's arm is not too short. All I've got to do, though, is I got to grab on, right? Like Jesus didn't go into Lazarus's tomb and just touch him and then just carry him out. And so here you go. No, he went to his tomb and he says, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, you got to come out. Some crazy miracle happened where he magically rose from the dead, but he did walk out of that tomb, right? Like Jesus came down to the earth, from heaven, he came down to the earth. God sent his son with one mission. It wasn't just to walk on water and to heal people of their sickness. The entire time, within all of those miracles, he came down with one mission, and that was to rescue you from whatever pit, whatever tomb you're in right now. But the beautiful thing is that he's given us faith, and that we actually have to know we need help. We have to know that we're there, but there's a hope, there's an arm to grab onto, and that's what he wants from you right now. And if that's you, if something in here has resonated with you, I want you to pray with me. To pray with me right now, Lord, I'm there. I'm there right now. It might be a short pit of I feel like my life is just out of control. I'm always scared. I'm always worried about something. I don't know what's next. God is your hope in that moment. God is here because he needs to take control. You're too much in control in that moment. And maybe you're in this other pit of just deep, deep sadness. Maybe everything has gone wrong in your life and you are in this deep pit. Cry out to God right now. He hears you. It says from his temple, your voice goes into his ears and he is tenacious. He is ruthless. He is going to come meet you at that tomb. You just got to choose to walk out. If that's you, say, Lord, I believe that and I trust that and I put faith in you and I give you control. And if that's not you, if you're not all in yet, you haven't bought in to anything I've said, but there's still stuff going on. Totally get that. I understand. It took me a while to get to that point of hope, but there's going to be leaders at the end of this morning after this last song, and they're going to be here. They want to talk with you. They don't want to just see how you're doing. They want to talk with you. They want to pray with you. They want to just get you to that next step of healing. And I would highly encourage anyone in this room who has put faith in Jesus for the first time that you would also come, because they want to pray and rejoice with you, and they want to be here with that moment with you, and just so thankful. God, we praise you that you have been in this place, that you have brought so many people with so many different things that are going on in our life. But Lord, the same thing is true. Jesus is bigger than our fears. Jesus is bigger than anything that is concerning us. Jesus is bigger than anything that grieves us. And Jesus is in control, and he is good, and he is faithful. Amen.